This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll be honest with you. I liked it better when there weren't any Thanksgiving songs.
What? Who is this? Is this the Florida Georgia
Matthew
line?
Matthew West.
No,
Matthew West.
This is not a country song. So I was cooking this morning, and I went to Spotify, and I just put like Thanksgiving songs or something, and this came up, and I'm listening, and I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard.
This sounds like bro country rap, doesn't it? Like,
yes,
know, like the Florida
but
Georgia
bad.
Guys. Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I sent it to Stiz. I was like, we got to use this today. It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Gobble, gobble, one. Gobble, gobble, two.
Other than...
Gobble, gobble, me. Gobble, gobble, you.
I mean, hey.
Which, I mean...
It's hot.
In certain ways, I appreciate the effort there.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Adam Sandler's song, right?
Like, and Alice's Restaurant.
Like, see, I don't even know what that is. I'm sure we'll
You don't know Alice's Restaurant?
I might. I mean, CTE.
Well, okay.
Bad Helmet.
My father still does, but whenever we drive somewhere, we'd scan around on the radio until Alice's Restaurant came on. It's a song by Arlo Guthrie, or Woody Guthrie, one of the Guthries, and it's this like 10-minute long song, and it's all about how he got arrested for dumping trash near a restaurant and all the stuff that he had to go through after that. But it's not even really a song. It's like they play music, but he just kind of tells
spoken
the story.
Spoken word? Oh,
it's spoken
love
word.
That.
And then at the end, they sing the chorus, and it's, you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You don't know that song?
I think I have heard that.
It's a Thanksgiving Day staple in my house.
So this one won't be?
I don't think so.
Gobble, gobble you, gobble, gobble me. Play it for your wife.
I mean, I'm going to be singing it to myself on the way home. I'm not going to lie. But it's not because I like it. It's just because it's an earworm. Anyway, so there you go. I think we have a couple other Thanksgiving songs we'll be playing here at some point, but... that was Gerard Mayo on Monday being asked by Wiggy about the team and the roster and everything else. And he says he thinks the team's gotten better. Has any one position group improved? Do you think there's one position group you can look at and say they've gotten better from last year to this year?
Do I not get to keep quarterback?
Sure.
Because I think quarterback's gotten better.
I'd agree
with
that.
Quarterback has gotten better, and cornerback has gotten better because Christian Gonzalez has proven that what he did through four games,
right,
three and a half games,
not a fluke,
is who he is.
Yeah.
Right. I saw.
Do you think he could be all pro this year?
That guy, Benjamin Solak or whatever,
yes,
who used to be on a website, now he's on ESPN
mm-hmm.
with Mina Kimes.
Yes. No relation to our friend across the way either, though.
No.
It's
no.
Solak. With an S, yes.
Yes. Different. Totally different.
Different guy.
He tweeted something to the effect he won't because the Patriots suck, but you could argue for Christian Gonzalez as an all-pro, and he's been that good. So I would say that position, with a forward-looking view, right now they're not good on totality. I don't think they had a great game last week. I don't think they had a great game 2 weeks ago. But because you have a number one corner is similar, because you have a quarterback, you have sort of a forward-looking view of optimism. The rest of it, no. The line stinks. The D-line stinks. The linebackers stink. The safety position, Kyle Duggar just came off a horrific game.
Yes, he did.
Where one of those aggregators, Dove Kleiman, your guy. He's got to be benched or cut immediately.
Guy. Also, not who that is anymore.
Yeah, whatever.
Sold the account. I was never a big Dove Kleiman fan.
He purports to be.
Yeah,
has
sure.
anybody seen that guy in person?
No. It's not a guy. It's a bot. It's a thing.
He's not even a guy.
It's an entity.
At this point, he sold. Okay. Whoever the original Dove Kleiman was, sold his account. Which you can do, I guess, if you have enough followers, worth something. He sold it off to some guy who just, you know, trolls everybody now. And I see him. I haven't blocked him yet. But every time I see, like, a Dove Kleiman tweet now, I'm like, what is the point of this?
You're like, okay, let's find a real source.
Yeah, let's see something else here.
Sometimes it just helps you aggregate. Right? Like, in your own, he puts, you know, something that...
I don't need help aggregating. There's plenty of aggregators.
See, I kind of do. I kind of do. I appreciate it. Now, the ones I hate, there's this one ML football guy that tags me in a lot of Patriots crap, and it's so annoying because then I get caught up in all the frickin' replies and all the idiocy of it, and I got to mute it or do whatever the hell you got to do. But no, the aggregators provide a service. I don't like when they're not aggregating. So the Dove Kleiman thing.
That wasn't really aggregating. Right. It was just a clip and saying, this guy sucks.
He was being like a bitchy Patriots fan.
Right.
I don't need that in my timeline. Mm-hmm. I got plenty of that. Believe me, I got plenty of bitchy Patriots fans
in my
timeline.
That's sort of what I mean, is I don't need that either.
I want the actual
news.
A beat writer wrote something in the Bay Area, bring it to a national level so I can see it. Oh, like remember when you were talking about earlier in the year, the pressure,
Niners.
Hot seat things. Did you see Debo responded? Supporting Kyle Shanahan.
No.
Like, the guy goes to the NFC title game of the Super Bowl like every year.
Mm-hmm.
How can he be on the hot seat? What the hell are you people talking about?
Hey, listen, I didn't agree with it.
Life comes at you fast in the NFL.
It does. Also, Debo Samuel kind of sucks now, by the way. Has anyone noticed that?
Well, that's why I thought at the time they should have made the decision. Trade Debo, sign
Ayuk,
And they tried to do
instead
both.
They just kept everyone,
Maybe they'll trade Debo in the offseason?
Maybe they will.
Maybe you want him?
Texter in the 781 says, you guys weren't listening to Hillman this morning. He ended the show with Alice's Restaurant. I did hear that. But it was just like a couple bars of it at the very end. The entire song is very, very long. It's a very, very long song. And it's just this. It's just this little guitar riff over and over again. And eventually they start singing towards the end. All right. Without any further ado, we'll play more of that later, Stiz. Let's get to our Colts scouting report. All right. We do this every week. Usually we do it on Friday, but since we don't have a show on Friday, we're doing it today.
We don't actually do it every week. You lie.
No, we do every time it's a new opponent.
Yes.
I don't recycle them for an opponent we already saw.
Recycling in radio, that'd be terrible.
I would never do that. The Indianapolis Colts, last week, we start with what happened last week. They got smoked by the Detroit Lions, 24-6. They were shut out in the second half. Gibbs and Montgomery, a.k.a. Sonic and Knuckles, combined for 3 touchdowns. The Colts unable to finish any drives. They've lost 4 out of 5, the one win coming over the New York Jets. They are currently the 9 seed in the AFC. In the league, they rank on offense 22nd in yards per game, 316.3. The Patriots rank 32nd with 280 yards per game, right on the nose. Points per game, they are 21st, 20.2 points per game. The Patriots 31st, 16.4 points per game. On defense, not very good here. Despite them having some names on this defense, their defense has been terrible this year. 28th in yards per game, they're yielding 375.8. Patriots are 22nd at 348. They are also 16th in points allowed, 22.8. Patriots are 19th at 23.5. Some offseason additions and subtractions. This was the most boring offseason out of any team I've scouted so far this year. The Indianapolis Colts did nothing this offseason. They signed Joe Flacco and Raekwon Davis, and that's it. Those are the only 2 free agents they signed the entire offseason. Does it get more boring than Joe Flacco and Raekwon Davis? Like, Davis is okay. He's a good defensive tackle, but he's not like a needle mover, and that's it. That's the only thing they did. They let Gardner Minshew walk. They let Zach Moss walk. They let Isaiah McKenzie walk, and they let Jacob Martin walk in free agency. They drafted Laiatu Latu from UCLA, 15th overall. He's a depth defensive end now behind Kwity Paye, who they drafted, I think, either the year before or 2 years before, who's a pretty good guy up front there. They also drafted A.D. Mitchell from Texas, someone that the Patriots could have had. He's been okay. He hasn't been great for them. He has 20 catches for 254 yards, no touchdowns. That would make him the most productive rookie on the Patriots by a long shot, but he's not on the Patriots. He's out there with the Colts. There are 3 rookies, by the way, on the Colts offensive line. The only offseason drama I can point to for the Colts is that fans are upset they didn't do more in the offseason. That's basically it. Anthony Richardson came back. People were excited to see what he was going to do this year. He sucked. And they didn't really get him any other weapons. He's kind of just floating along there. Players to watch. Any Colts on your radar that you... other than Jonathan Taylor and, you know, those guys.
Anthony Richardson is the most obvious freak athlete. Mm-hmm. He's basically a college quarterback trying... Or high school. I'd say probably... He's probably a high school quarterback, essentially, trying to play that way in the NFL. He has remarkable numbers, and I don't mean that in a good way.
No.
You don't see too many quarterbacks. When you look at their game by game, it's like completion percentage, 37%, 46%, 45%. He is terrible in that way, but you also know if you watch for 60 minutes, he's got some recruiting videos, mm-hmm. usually kind of with his legs or just how far he can throw the ball. Yeah. But he can do some freakish things. Something that snuck up on me, Advantage Patriots this week might be one of the few teams in the NFL that can, in practice for the scout team, replicate Anthony Richardson. Joe Milton.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they're very similar.
He's
big,
fast like
athletic, can throw the ball, the whole thing. He's probably not quite as fast as Anthony. He's not as fast. But other than that, that ability to keep plays alive and chuck it 80 yards, rolling right, back foot type stuff. Now, do I think that means they're going to win? I do not necessarily mean that. But to replicate the Colts offense, he can do that. I like Jonathan Taylor.
I think he's Taylor
good
as well.
Player.
Yeah.
The defensive
he's
front.
He's on pace for another 1,000-yard season,
yeah,
by the way.
He's a good player. The defensive front is good. DeForest Buckner's really good. And Quiddy Pay, local guy, Bishop Hendricken, I think, in Rhode Island. He went to high school. I think they could dominate this game. Kind of like when I was worried about the Rams game. I think this Colts defensive front might dominate this game.
You're right. Pay did go to Bishop Hendricken High School.
Look at me.
Just like Pete Shepard, I think, went
Big
there,
brain.
Too. I think Pete DeMeat also went to Bishop Hendricken, so there you go.
Did he end up in the NFL?
No. But, I mean, you know, it's only because of the politics, I would think. You know, a lot of politics, anti-Italian discrimination, things like that. Anyway, there's Jonathan Taylor. DeForest Buckner's a pretty good guy up front there. Kenny Moore's probably their best guy in the secondary. And they got two decent receivers in Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman. There are only two former Patriots / Colts on either side. Can you name them? One on offense, one on defense.
No.
Both of them pretty recognizable names. Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, you idiot.
Patriots and Colts quarterback, and Yannick Ngakoue. Also played for the Colts briefly. Yeah. I don't really remember him on the Colts.
That's part of his journeyman. I think he had 9 sacks with them, though. I think he had a decent year a couple years ago with the Colts.
Okay.
Part of his journeyman tenure late in his career here.
That brings us to everybody's favorite part of the scouting report, the all-time Patriots-Colts team.
Yes!
I got to tell you, this one's not very good. At quarterback, you got Brian Hoyer, Jacoby Brissett, and Tom Ramsey are your three quarterbacks.
Tom Ramsey.
Kind of rough.
Made the cut.
The running backs, even worse. Remember Ivy Joe Hunter? Remember back in the 80s and 90s? I remember him from Tecmo Bowl. I don't really remember him playing at all. But Ivy Joe Hunter, Dan Klecko, and Greg Hawthorne are your three top running backs that
played
for both.
You're including Dan Klecko as a running back?
I mean, yeah.
He played fullback, but he was a D lineman.
I know.
He was one of those converted dudes.
Putting him in there
it
as a
really
running back.
Is a bare barrel empty.
There's
Jesus.
Nobody else. Tight end. This is not bad. Wiggy played for the Colts.
Wiggy!
Dwayne Allen, who was not very good on either team, couldn't really catch, had hands of stone. And Matt Lengel. You remember Matt Lengel?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a Patriot and a Colt.
Dwayne Allen was a very nice man.
Wide receiver.
Still is.
This is a decent group here. How about Deion Branch? How about Stanley Morgan?
Stanley Morgan played for the Colts?
Stanley Morgan played for the Colts for 1 year. Austin Colley. Phil Dorsett. Sammy Martin, who was the Patriots' kick returner in Tecmo Super Bowl.
Glass eye.
Really?
No.
Okay. I didn't know that. And Dante Moncrief are the main guys there. There's some other ones. I didn't recognize the names. I went with the names I recognized. What do you want from me? On the offensive line, Antonio Maffi is on the Colts practice squad right now. Jesus. And, of course, who can forget the immortal Eugene Chung, who played for the Patriots and also the Colts. On defense, this is a little bit better. You have a decent defense here with Steph Gilmore, Lawrence Guy, Cassius Marsh, Tyrone Poole, Jabal Sheard, Darius Butler, and Tavon Wilson, one of the all-time terrible picks that Bill Belichick ever made.
That's
a pretty
good second-round
pick on Tavon Wilson, but not bad.
Like, Darius Butler is one of those blown picks here. Kind of went on to have a nice career.
Had a nice career, absolutely. Yeah. He did. And then there's special teams, and
uh-oh,
this is really
this
where
hurts.
It comes down
this
to
cuts
it.
Cuts deep.
Adam Vinatieri.
The Hall of Famer.
Your kicker and a Hall of Famer, and your punter, Tom Tupa. Who 1 year, I think, had a couple of completions.
Yes.
Passing the ball here for
college quarterback
and New England
punter.
Patriots. So there you go.
Good
that
thing
is
it,
the all-time Patriots-Colts team.
Good thing it's not baseball where they remember used they do the cap thing for the Hall of Fame. Because Adam Vinatieri spent more time with the Colts than the Patriots. And that would hurt if he went into the Hall of Fame with a Colts logo
he
on.
He won there, too.
Yeah, he did. That would worry me. And do you know the famous assistant coach who coached for both teams?
famous assistant coach who coached for both teams.
People think of this guy as a New England mainstay, and the one time he went away, it was to the Colts.
No, who?
Dante Scarnecchia.
Really?
The only time he wasn't here, he left like in the early 90s to go with Ray Perkins?
No, kidding.
Dead. Whoever else.
Some guy.
Like 3 years.
He was probably alive.
He went to the Colts for like 3 years, then he came back.
How about that?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that with 20 guesses. All right, there you go. That is your Indianapolis Colts scouting report right here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937. Burt Breer was on NBC Sports Boston either yesterday or the day before, and he said that the Crafts have resigned themselves to a multi-year rebuild, which got me thinking. There's three teams rebuilding in town right now. Which one's going to take the longest? Which one's not going to take very long? And which one's going to deliver a championship the soonest? We'll get to all of that right after Dan tells you which.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Trending. That was Burt Breer. Depressing. I'm sorry to depress everybody the day before Thanksgiving, but I think he's right. And it is year one of this rebuild. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We'll be joined by Adam Schefter here in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. And also Brian Scalabrine will be joining the show here in about an hour or so. Also, Danny Ventura, Boston Herald, will give us a preview of all the high school football games going on in and around your area. If you want to catch some Turkey Bowl action tomorrow, it used to be one of my favorite things to do. I'm not sure if I'll have time since we're hosting tomorrow, but I'll try and get out to the Dedham game. We shall see. Anyways, just wanted to address a couple of texts. Number one, Reggie Wayne does not count. Texters, a lot of people texting in. What about Reggie Wayne on the all-time Patriots-Colts team? Didn't play for the Patriots. Was here for camp and then quit. Kind of like Chukwuma Okorafor, although at least Okorafor got a jersey and played a couple games. So he would count if he ever played for the Colts, but he doesn't.
Couple?
And also,
he might only got one.
There's this. Alice, the inspiration of Alice's Restaurant, passed away last week.
Did?
Alice Brock, the Alice from the Arlo Guthrie song, who helped inspire the Thanksgiving standard, passed away at the age of 83, a week before Thanksgiving. It was announced Friday by Guthrie on Facebook. Rising Sun Records, this is a record company. He announced it on there. Guthrie wrote that she passed away in Provincetown, her residence for some 40 years, and referred to her being in failing health. Other details were not available right there. But rest in power to Alice of Alice's Restaurant, Alice Brock, who inspired that whole song and is a song
that
people have been listening to for forever. I mean, it's a very, very cool song, and we thoughts and prayers go out to the family. All right, let's go to the phones here before we get to our rebuild and who's going to take the longest out of the three teams rebuilding currently in the city. Let's start with John, who is in the car. He has a thought on Alex Van Pelt. Hi, John.
Yeah, we'd be lost without the Guthries. What a great musical act we got from them. So I'm glad you highlighted them there with the,
of course,
the Arlo's action. You know, we get the local connection with the Woody with Dropkick Murphys. But AVP, you know, I'm softening on him lately just purely because he's the only one that actually gives you information as to what's going on down there at in Foxborough. Like everybody else, it's like sunshine and rainbows and lollipops and everybody's getting better and the planet's progressing. But meanwhile, not so much. It's Pop Douglas who can't figure out what routes to run. So maybe it's not really the game isn't all because of Drake May's fault. He's not all the mistakes aren't on him. It's the fact that there's absolutely no wide receivers. And Christian, I think you're right. They have to go for broke for wide receivers. The wide receiver room reminds me of the Red Sox starting pitching. Like the best starting pitcher they have is maybe a four. And meanwhile, we have like Bethel Johnson retreads every week in all this in this crap that they have in there. It's like, what are we going to do? Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
So the Alex Van Pelt part, I agree with. He is very open of late.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a little too much sometimes.
Maybe a little too much.
Well, and I also know Marcus Jones was.
Why?
Right.
Why? I also want to know why. Cause,
why so transparent?
So he's backing buses over everybody.
Yeah.
Today I thought he took out Drake May. I thought he took out Pop Douglas. And he took out Vedarian Lowe, which some people are like, wow, what do you mean by that? He said the player was having the same problem on the practice field last week, which I would then argue, is it on the player or is it on you people? And by you people, I mean you coaches.
Right.
And I know
you're seeing this problem
right.
in the practice. It's not like he's practicing well all week and then going out there and he can't get it done on the field. If that's happening on the practice field, you got to coach it out of him.
So Javon Baker sucks on the practice field because they've kind of told us as much. He doesn't get to play. Okay, I get that. That's understandable. That's kind of the traditional. Vedarian Lowe sucks on the practice field and you just roll him out there.
Yep.
Play somebody else.
I agree.
Anyone.
Anybody.
And don't tell me you don't have the players. You just cut a guard who played like 90% of your snaps and kicked him to the curb and you're going to replace him with a rookie. So clearly you don't really care because you thought that guy was by far the best guy. He's been your starter most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut him and moved on from him.
And he hasn't been doing this all year either, by the way. He's gotten worse.
Absolutely.
Right? Like he's gotten worse at knowing the snap count.
And I'm with Ross Tucker. I don't really know how you fix it. The only way is to hold him accountable and bench his ass.
Yeah.
You can't. Now, this time, I really mean it this time. I need you to know the snap count. It's a yips. It's a hole in his mental process, whatever it is. But
if we had a weekly interview with Vedarian Lowe, I would have asked him if he had the yips by now. I think there's a guarantee.
And I would have said, do you have a penalty problem?
Right. The answer to both of those is probably yes.
He would have said, the yips? What do you mean, the yips? I never heard it in my
life. What does that mean, the yips? Sorja is in Mansfield. Hi, Sorja.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we today?
What's up, Sorja? How you doing, buddy?
First and foremost, hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Right back at you, pal.
Appreciate it. Really quick here, guys. You know, I'm kind of verging between, you know, looking at Tankathon every day and then actually trying to focus in on these games. And I'm just at a point where I have really, really minimum expectations. And I think because Drake May is so awesome, I think he maybe overinflated our expectations. And at this point, like you said, I'm like, hey, Vedarian Lowe, can you, like, not get a false start penalty? Hey, Austin Hooper, can you, like, just line up offsides? My expectations for this team have become so minimum because they are playing so poorly. And I just want to see this team not make the same mistakes over and over. And really quick, because you guys did a great radio tease of who you think will be the best out of, besides the Celtics, who will have the best chance moving forward.
Of a rebuild,
I need to say, and I can't believe it, I'm saying this, I think it's the Red Sox, because at least they're showing in this offseason a change in the way they're doing things, whereas the Bruins and the Patriots seem to just doing the same thing and accepting the same results.
Thanks for the call, Sorge. Appreciate it. I will say this.
He just hit on it.
The Red Sox are saying that they're going to do different things. Are they actually doing it? We'll see. I mean, if you think that talking about it a lot is enough, then yeah, the Red Sox are, the rebuild's going great.
Right.
But it takes more than just talking about it, which brings us to what Breer was talking about. It's a multi-year rebuild. The Crafts have resigned themselves to that, which I don't like that kind of language. I don't like resigned. Because resign means, it's going to be a bunch of years. Let's just stick with the guys we have and give them some more time. I think you can make some changes. I think there's some changes that should be made. And I think it starts right there with the GM. I mean, listen, Elliot Wolf is not someone I think you need to set adrift, and throw him out to sea. But maybe somebody else should be in charge of the drafts. Maybe somebody else should be in charge of this. You can keep him on staff if you really think he has some value there. But I don't trust him as your chief decision maker when it comes to rebuilding this team. I just don't. Now, Drake May is a beacon of hope for this team, okay? If you didn't have Drake May, then it would be a hopeless situation that you're in right now. But I think around Drake May, it's pretty hopeless. Like, there's not much to really hang your hat on. There's not much to feel optimistic about. We talked about the different position groups, and if any of them appear to be improving, the answer is no. So I think the Patriots are on a multi-year rebuild, and I do think it'll take more than just one more offseason. I think it's going to be a couple more years, and I wonder if that's what the Crafts are thinking. And also, if it's going to be a few more years, we might as well stick with these guys that we have just for continuity's sake.
So I found that Breer cut really interesting on a lot of levels. First, I don't think there's any resignation to this being a multi-year rebuild. I think they thought all along it was a multi-year rebuild.
Well, I think they were hoping they could be like Houston or you know, one of these other teams that turns it around quickly.
I don't think they had any visions of that, any hope, any... To them was the same as you or me buying a $500 million lottery ticket. I think that, yeah, it could have happened in like a Disney way or whatever, but I don't think they had any ideas of that. I think they had a plan. Now, the plan may have backfired a little bit, but I think the plan was to keep the core guys, build a foundation of holdover guys, mm-hmm. be aggressive year two. I think that was the plan. Get the quarterback, then build around the quarterback in year two. Now, is it a two-year plan? We'll see. It might be more than that. The other thing, he made a weird comment there. He goes, some people think this is year two of the rebuild, but right. It's not. I don't know anybody who thought it was year two. It was either year one or year five. If you give Belichick credit for whatever the hell happened post-Tom Brady, mm-hmm. you've been rebuilding for nearly a half a decade.
Yeah.
So, but year two, like, how was last year a rebuild year with Belichick?
It wasn't. It was just a bad year.
It was a teardown year, or it was a whatever. So it's either year one or year five. It's year one. I think they knew that. And is it worse than they expected? Maybe. Because we talked a lot about the comment earlier in the year when he said there's rough times ahead.
Right.
Like, he knew there were rough times. Now, how rough? I don't know if he thought it was going to be this rough or games like that. And I always say you can know it's coming and then it feels different when it actually gets there. And as Schefter brought out, mm-hmm. you know, fans, if they're leaving, if no one's at your games, people are mocking you, cutaways on TV, whatever, is a little bit different. But the question you teased, I feel like I have to answer in a certain way. And Sorja brought it up. If you're buying the talk of the Red Sox, I think you have to answer the Red Sox because...
The Red Sox are the best out of that group right now, I'd say.
I'm not so sure about that, but in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they sure as hell better be or I'm done with them. Because we just talked about, you can buy a title in baseball. Mm-hmm. They're a borderline wild card team. They've sold me on that for like 5 years now. And
they're a 500 team.
They're about to go spend somewhere in the range of $90 million on elite talent is what we hope, right?
I hope so, yeah.
A couple starting pitchers, a big bat, whatever. Mm-hmm. However it breaks down,
however
they're
going to do it. Yeah.
They're going to spend a boatload of money on a roster, and they have young players. So to me, that puts them light years ahead, theoretically, because they got to follow through with this. But the Patriots are last, in my opinion. They have the quarterback. They have nothing mm-hmm. else.
The Red Sox have other building blocks.
Right.
Like, their pitching staff's not great, but how can Crawford and those guys are building blocks that you can keep around?
And you probably believe, I mean, whether
Jaron Duran's a building block. Like, they
Devers,
have pieces,
Duran, Rafaela, Abreu, guys in the major leagues, and then they're probably not going to miss on all of the big four.
Right.
So you got one or two of those that are probably going to hit, and you mm-hmm. got some young talent. So I feel like if we did the building blocks thing that we did for the Patriots, for the Red Sox, there's more of them.
Yeah.
Right? And they're about to spend a boatload of money, and they have a manager that they just extended. They have a lot of stability, a lot of pieces, if they follow through with this plan this offseason.
Agreed.
Right?
I think that's probably the most optimistic way you can spin this is that the Red Sox are that team. The Bruins, I don't even think they realize they're in a rebuild. The rebuild hasn't even started for them.
Well, if they're in a rebuild, they're porked. I'm not sure they're in a rebuild either. That's where I side
with
them.
They don't know they're in a rebuild.
Because
that's the problem.
They have too much big money talent to be in a rebuild, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have too many.
It's going to take a while to shed all that. And
they may suck.
Over.
Those guys may suck, but you have them. You're stuck with them.
Yes, that's true. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we return, we'll be joined by ESPN's Adam Schefter. We'll get his take on all the goings-on here in the NFL and what he likes to eat on Thanksgiving. That's coming up next. WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be joined here momentarily by Adam Schefter, ESPN, who had some interesting things to say this past Monday on the Pat McAfee Show. And we'll ask him now if that was informed speculation or if it was just kind of spitballing, because I am curious about that. He was talking about how much the Crafts may or may not be appreciating what they're seeing out there on the field, if they may be considering a change of heart, certain areas. And for more on that, Adam Schefter, brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Adam Schefter, how are we doing today?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and everybody in the Boston area.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I just saw you tweeted something like 9 seconds ago about Fred Warner, so the grind never stops, and we appreciate you taking some time out of breaking all these stories to come on and chat with us today. I want to talk about something that I heard you say on Monday on the Pat McAfee Show. It was the guy with the mullet, Boston Connor, asking you about Gerard Mayo and Robert Kraft, and sort of at what point does ownership start maybe reassessing what they've put together here for a staff. I was wondering, was that informed speculation, or were you kind of just spitballing there? Do you think that there is a chance, or have you heard anything about the Crafts maybe, I don't know if buyer's remorse is the right term, but starting to reconsider some of the decisions they made this past offseason?
Well, I think that every team evaluates where it's at every season, and I don't think that the entire staff that is there now will be there next season. I just, you know, they'll review things and they'll make adjustments where they see they're needed. And again, I think the most important asset and commodity that that franchise has right now is its quarterback. And you want to make sure that that quarterback is in the best possible care. So that's up for them to sit down and make a decision. Are we surrounding Drake May right now with the best possible people and best possible coaching that we can? And I think that that's a discussion that they have to have after the season. I'm sure they will, and we'll see where that goes.
Do you think that also crosses over into the front office? I know we take a lot of calls, and there's a lot of people that have questions about Elliott Wolf and his offseason running the Patriots draft and free agency. Do you think he could be a guy that'd be on a hot seat?
I don't see that right now. Again, you know, this is his first time, so to speak, as a GM, and he's just gotten started, and he really didn't get that position until after the draft, or really before the draft, but named official after the draft. I think that anybody needs time to implement their own program and make sure that it works out the way they want. Look, that's up to the Crafts to sit down after the season and make decisions that they feel are necessary. But I haven't heard that being the case. But you never know.
Okay. One thing I wanted to follow up with you on, Adam, and you mentioned that T. Higgins was probably going to be cut loose by the Cincinnati Bengals. I know that's someone that's at the top of a lot of Patriots fans' wish list. I hope it's on top of Elliott Wolf's wish list. Have you heard anything else about any of these other, I don't want to say premier wide receivers, but guys that the Patriots may be interested in who are in danger of shaking loose at some point in the offseason? Is there any more scuttlebutt going on with names of tackles maybe, or other wide receivers? Or the Patriots need a lot of help, edge rushers, cornerbacks. There's a lot of holes to fill.
Well, first and foremost, the Bengals aren't cutting loose T. Higgins.
Right.
He is cut, and he becomes a free agent after the season, and he gets to go where he wants. And that's to his benefit after being franchise tagged this year. So we'll see what he decides to do. And like I said, I think he goes to the highest bidder, and I think there's going to be a lot of people that are willing to spend a lot of money on probably the number one free agent in this free agent class. I'm not on the free agent class on November 27th yet to tell you who would or would not be able to help New England. But I would say that T. Higgins would be an obvious target. And I don't know who the free agent, the top free agent offensive linemen are just yet. I'm not there. I'm living in a playoff coaching world right now. There's time to get to that.
We used to live there, Adam. We used to live in that same world. We don't live there anymore. We're on the other side of the street now. It's a hard adjustment for us. I hope you appreciate that at least.
Yeah. Listen, you want to know who your team is? I got it. And the only thing I would say is I would expect them to be active in trying to upgrade their roster to once again surround Drake May with as much talent as possible to protect him as much as possible. And everything that this organization does should be built around the idea is, does it make our quarterback safer and better? And as long as that's the case, then they can go spend whatever they want. But everything has got to be designed around making it safer and better for Drake May.
Adam, you and I both know that Mike Florio does a nice job posting juicy stories on Pro Football Talk. Sometimes there's fact in them, and sometimes maybe they're just speculation. I'm wondering what you thought of the Aaron Rodgers, Bill Belichick could be a combo somewhere next year post that he had recently.
I didn't see it. I never read it. So Bill's going to sift through his options. And if that was one that made sense, sure. But I don't see that as a likely combination. First of all, Bill's got to get a job. Where's he getting the job? Who's the quarterback there? Like, that's like eight steps down the road. And, I mean, you know, we could have fun like that with anything and make it nice and splashy, but I'm not there right now.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, I was curious, in your career, you've broken thousands of stories, probably more than that. Was there ever a story or info that you got that you thought, this guy's setting me up, this isn't real, I gotta really, like, what's the most outrageous tip you got that ended up being a real story that you thought was someone maybe trying to trick you or play a joke on you or something like that?
Well, I mean, I think that's just part of the job, right? You hear things all the time, like, what can that be? And the biggest stories are the ones that are the hardest to believe. So, I mean, I don't know which one that is, but, you know, that's always the fun of this job, is hearing, like, oh boy, like, you know, there's nothing that gets my juices going more than hearing something like, this is about to go down, this is in the works, keep your eye on this. I mean, I love that. That's currency to me. And you know, the great part is you get to do it every day and hear things that you wouldn't believe. And some of them turn out to be true, and many of them turn out not to be true. But, I mean, I hear it all the time. Like, I'm on the phone, you know, with teams, and they're like, yeah, we're thinking of doing it. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And then they change their minds or it doesn't happen. And then sometimes it does. And, you know, like, again, just think about any big story. You're like, whoa, right? That's your reaction. So you can only imagine what it would be like hearing about it in advance of that as it's being formulated and processed and finalized. And so that's probably the best part of my job. Love that part. Hearing the things that are going on behind closed doors that people don't always hear about that turn out to be reality in the cases that they do.
A relatively big story this week was Daniel Jones done with the Giants and landing with the Vikings on their practice squad. What's sort of the thinking from both parties involved on that newfound marriage?
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, if you're Daniel Jones, where you've gotten beaten up in New York physically and mentally for 5-6 years now, you're looking to get to a safe space physically and mentally. Like, you're looking to go somewhere where the coach is going to nurture you, where the organization is going to protect you, where you're playing meaningful games in November and December, where you're part of something that's fun. All that is Minnesota right now. All that. Kevin O'Connell, NFC North, winning games. What's the Vikings record right now? I think it's like 9-2. So right then and there, that's a big win for Daniel Jones. The Giants are paying his $11+ million this year. And if you're the Vikings, who've been through any number of quarterbacks the past couple of years, you're saying, okay, well, we get to have Daniel Jones, so we get another quarterback if we need one. We'll start him out on the practice squad. We'll have him ready to back up Sam Darnold if needed. Sam Darnold, there's a decent chance that after the season he winds up leaving Minnesota because they have J.J. McCarthy, who we don't know whether he will or won't be ready for the start of the season. Maybe he will. Hopefully he will. And then, in addition to that, you got a guy in Daniel Jones. Maybe he likes it in Minnesota so much. Maybe he likes Kevin O'Connell so much. He says, you know what, let me, I don't love my options on the free agent market. Let me spend another year here for 1 year, $7 million. And I'll be in Minnesota for that period of time. And so they get to try him out. He gets to try them out. And if he stays, that's great for them. And if he doesn't, then they get a compensatory draft pick for next year.
True. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal as far as they're concerned. Adam, before we let you go here, what's Thanksgiving like in the Schefter house? Are you working tomorrow? Do you put the phone down for at least like part of dinner? Or are you just is it just a normal work day? What's the food spread like? What's your day like tomorrow?
Well, we go to my wife's cousin's for Thanksgiving. Okay. So there's about 40 people there.
Wow.
And I like to just pull up to the couch and we bring over some desserts, and they do some cooking, and everybody brings something and get to hang out. And, you know, that's sort of the way it rolls. But it's a nice thing. You know, I like the holiday so much because it's all about family, food, and football. There's no religion. No. It's just sit around, hang out, be with your family, watch football, stuff your face. I'm good with that anytime anybody wants.
Just to put a bow on last week, I assume you were able to sort of soothe the relationship with your wife and the questions and the couch and anything that went down there. Are we good there?
Well, if I say something about it, then it could turn into another headline. she's not talking to me. So if they want to turn that into another headline, that's great.
All right. Very good. Well, Adam Schefter, very happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving back to you. That's Adam Schefter, ESPN, joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Brian Scalabrine will be joining the show at 4:30. In the meantime, the Boston Bruins shut out last night by the Vancouver Canucks, and it was even uglier than I just described with that brief description. It was a bad one. It's been a bad couple of weeks. It's been a tough go here for your Boston Bruins. We'll get into all of that with your phone calls right after this.